today's show, Vanessa Curran, who specializes in agricultural economics, and James Newman, a food scientist, are here to discuss food trends. Now, Vanessa, you've studied ancient Roman food production. What did you find?
Well, I was thinking about the rising cost of living and wondered how the Romans dealt with economic uncertainty. Back then, providing enough bread to its citizens was the sign of a good government. Then the economist Adam Smith found a similar link between wages and 18th century corn tariffs in Britain, and these trends tell us a lot.
I imagine that modern-day food policy has made some advancements.
Sure, but politicians are well aware that it's a means of exerting significant influence. If you think of the UK's sugar tax, it wants to try and prevent obesity and diabetes by discouraging people from consuming sugar-rich drinks. As a result, most soft drink manufacturers have reduced sugar content to avoid being charged this tax. So we should think carefully about who's behind dietary advice, as we're often led to believe it's doctors and nutritionists.
Good point. These days, fake meat substitutes are in the headlines. James, what do you think about these vegan products?
Well, environmentalists want us to stop eating meat to help combat climate change, but the food industry has developed an alternative solution. And they're winning over meat lovers, many simply believing these products are much better for them. Of course, meat substitutes prevent animal suffering, but they're highly processed food. One thing's for sure, kale-eating vegans aren't their target market.
Okay. Vanessa, let's talk about the lab-grown meat market. Will it ever take off?
Well, the biggest corporations are capitalizing on it because they've seen huge growth with plant-based products in the West. I'm sure they're anticipating that that will also occur in other parts of the world. So we can expect the collapse of the dairy and cattle business in the not-too-distant future once lab-grown meat and proteins go mainstream. With this technology, we can produce just the parts we need without raising, feeding, and slaughtering livestock.
If we can stomach the idea, that is. Think I'd rather turn vegan. Well, how is veganism depicted in the media?
Well, it's in the news all the time. And it's great that so many people are adopting a plant-based diet, whether it's for ethical or health reasons. But they won't save the world by doing this. Avocados, for instance, guzzle vast amounts of water, while cocoa is a significant driver of deforestation. But issues like that are rarely newsworthy. What we really need is a more balanced view and some real solutions. Giving up meat won't save the world.
So, in theory, would a global shift to a plant-based diet have much impact?
It would make a difference. There's a lot to be said about the health benefits of moving away from meat and towards fresh fruit and vegetables. But if the poorest countries no longer had access to meat, that'd be a grave mistake, as it ensures food security and a nutritious diet.
But doesn't that go against the Eat Lancet food campaign?
Yes, particularly in India. The campaign wants the world to adopt a plant-based diet and provides targets to achieve this. Recently, Canadian conservation scientist Brent Locken described India as a great example of mainly getting its protein sources from plants. The whole nation is often stereotyped as being vegetarian, but the campaign has aggravated a political situation where minority communities who eat meat, such as Muslims and Christians, are being treated as inferior.
I wasn't aware of that. And what's the vegan movement in Africa like?